I'm gonna be a grandpapa again. Oh, me. Leon and I were talking about how to grow the church. Amen. Amen. We have four wonderful mothers to be in our congregation, and we are so thrilled and excited for them. And I think the promise is that they'll all be here between January and I think April, if I'm not mistaken. So, nursery, get ready. Amen. Well, I really appreciate that video. This series of messages, you know, I have never done a series of messages before. You know, I've been here almost 7 years, and I've never done a series of messages like this before. God laid these on my heart, and most pastors, they, in October, will bring a series of messages on giving, but I've just never really done that. I feel compelled, though, that the Holy Spirit was leading me in this, and I want to thank you again for your generosity. I think we took up a little over $2,100 to go to Cuba, and I thank you for helping Jared and Naomi and Lindsay to go to Cuba and to be a part of the Rob White team. Do you realize in the councils of eternity, when all those rewards are given, each of you that gave and shared a part in the giving that went to Cuba will be directly rewarded because you had a part. You gave and you prayed and you supported that team as they went to Cuba. So I cannot encourage you enough. You can never outgive God when it comes to missions. God was the first missionary. If you remember, he went to the garden where Adam and Eve were. And so you can never outgive God. You can have fun trying, and he will bless you for it, but you can never outgive him. So I just want to encourage you that you will prayerfully seek the mind, the heart, and the will of God in this. Roma and I have a death in her family, and we have a funeral at 2 o'clock in Hampton. So Jared and Mindy have agreed to greet you all at the front door this morning. We're going to have to scoot out real quick because that's a little over a two-hour drive from here. So pray that the Lord will give us traveling mercy and pray that those bubblegum machines won't be working and the pastor will obey the law, okay? Stand with me, take your Bibles, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at a few verses in Proverbs chapter 3. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you don't, use your smartphone. If you don't, there's one on the back of the pew. But pull out a Bible, and let's look at these verses in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm actually going to begin reading at verse number 5. I'm sorry, 7. Be wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And there's a promise in verse 10 that if you do that, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall have burst forth with new wine. May our Heavenly Father bless and honor the reading of His Word. Will you join me as we pray together? Father, I ask you today that you will help us to become a church like that Macedonian church, like those believers, Father, in the first century who sold all their possessions and departed their goods to all who needed. I pray, God, that you'll help us to grasp literally the truth and the freedom and the joy in giving not only of our resources that you have blessed us with, but giving of ourselves to you. I pray, God, today if there's even one in this service that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, I pray, God, that today they might give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from their sin and turning to you through faith in him. I pray, Father, if there are those here today that need to become a part of this loving and caring church family, where God, there's no doubt, there's no question that your Spirit is moving among us. I pray, God, today in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus, that you will speak to their hearts. Remove this pastor, this preacher, this servant of yours from the eyes of these people. May their eyes never be upon me. Magnify, exalt, and glorify your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse us of every sin in thought, in word, in deed, through the cross and the blood of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I love to receive emails that ask questions about sermons. And this past week, I was blessed to receive an email from one of our members that asked questions. They wanted clarification on the other three sermons. And so as I was sitting down and putting this together in response to them, I said to myself, I said, you know, God, this is you. This is you using this person to speak to my heart. And so I feel like this morning I need to take a few minutes and go back and kind of wrap up the other three messages, because it's going to be impossible for me to finish the other message on first fruits today. We'll finish that up the first Sunday before Thanksgiving. First and foremost, all giving is a matter of one's heart toward God and what he has specifically said in his word to us about what is expected of us in giving. Without a doubt, I think your heart is certainly pure and that you have shared with me an absolute trust and confidence. Paul said, so let a man give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you give, whether it's in tithes and offerings that belong to God, or whether it is in planting the seed, or whether it is in almsgiving, or whether it is through returning to God the first fruits, which is his, as we'll find in our message today, do you experience that joy that we saw in the video that those Macedonian believers experienced? You see, that when the heart is right in relationship with God, the pocketbook will always be right. And so I want you to ask yourself that question. Is giving a vital part of my life? Is it a priority in my life? Because all giving is an indication of who we are worshiping. It is an indication of who is a priority in our life. The tithe is the Lord's and has been from the time God approved Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 20, 28, 20, and 22. Hebrews 7, 5 through 9. Therefore, tithing predates the law. The tithe belongs to God, and if you take it and use it for any other purpose, you bring a curse, according to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, on yourself, and you are robbing God, period, exclamation mark. That's what his word says. You are responsible, therefore, to God. Therefore, it is to be brought to the storehouse, which is the church. The temple treasurer, before the church was formed, if you remember, Jesus called attention to the widow who cast in the two mites, all that she had, into the temple treasury in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, as he taught his disciples the principle of bringing the Lord's tithe and the Lord's offering into the storehouse. The storehouse in New Testament times is the New Testament church. When you study the book of Acts, you find that it was always brought to the church. In fact, Ananias and Sapphira got in trouble for lying to the Holy Spirit of God because they had said that they had sold the land for so much, and they held back a part and they had given it all to God. And you remember what happened. They made a hole in one. They were the first golfers in the Bible. Okay? The law of Moses confirmed the requirement, the necessity of tithing, Leviticus 27, 30 through 32, Numbers 18, 20 through 32, Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 11, 14, 22 through 29, 26, 12 through 15, 2 Chronicles 31, 5 through 12, Nehemiah 10, 30, 38, 12, 44, 13, 5 through 12, Amos 4, 4, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Jesus addressed and commended the Pharisees for their tithing, but leaving out the weightier matter of the law, if you remember, which was love, Matthew 23, Luke 11, 42, and 18, 12. Some may ask, do I tithe off of the gross or the net? Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Matthew 22, 21, Mark 12, 17. Caesar took his off of the top, off of the gross earning, which was well understood in Jesus' day and time. Therefore, no question today. Therefore, we tithe off of the gross. If you have to ask a question about, are you supposed to tithe off of the net or off of the gross, then you have a heart issue and you need to ask God to examine your heart and to help your heart to be softened to Him and to His will and His purpose and His plan through you in order that the kingdom might be the focus of our life while we are here, that we might seek the kingdom and that He promised if we would seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all things would be added unto us. Otherwise, you are robbing God of the difference between the gross and the net. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. Seed faith is just that. It is planting seeds through faith giving into His kingdom, institutions, and or privately into people's lives. Matthew 13, 1 through 13. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow sparingly, you are going to reap sparingly. He that goeth forth bearing the precious seeds... And I understand that that's talking about the seed of salvation. But understand this morning, if you're blood washed and blood bought and a born again child of God, and God has your heart as He's supposed to have your heart, then you're going to have a desire to sow seeds in order to advance His kingdom, in order that you might lay up treasures in heaven where rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, and where moths do not eat it away. Therefore, you are given, it's not required, but you are given the opportunity to sow seeds into the kingdom of God in order that God might bless you. God does not require us to do this. However, this giving is never, capital letters, is never using God's tithe and God's offering and seeking to plant them as seeds. I've had people tell me, well, I gave my tithe over here. I said, You just don't know the scripture, and you're expecting to give God's tithe, which belongs to Him, over there, and you're asking God to bless you by giving it over there. And He's not going to do it because it's against His principle in His word of giving. So I admonish you today with all the love that's in my heart, the tithe and the offering belongs to God, always has, always will, and God's not going to change that, just like He's not going to change the way that a person is saved. You either come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and you receive God's wonderful grace and God's wonderful mercy. Well, it is the same thing when you return to God that which is His. However, in the seed offering, in the seed planting, He gives you and I the opportunity to be blessed as a result of that. And so you cannot take, this type of giving is always above the tithe and the offering. You say, whoa, wait a minute, preacher. Yep. When you study the scriptures, you'll find that seed planting and a seed offering is always above what belongs to God. And so it means that you're taking an offering and you're investing that offering into someone's life or into an institution or into a missionary movement such as you did and giving to, and I hope none of you gave God's tithe and God's offering to go to Cuba. Hello? Hello? Are you listening? You see, that's a seed offering, and that's almsgiving as well. The tithe and the offering belongs to God and belongs in His storehouse, which in the Old Testament was the temple, and in the New Testament is the church. And if you give it anywhere else, then you're robbing God, and you're robbing God and robbing yourself of the opportunity for God to bless you. Almsgiving is doing good deeds, acts of mercy, giving of our money, of our time, our resources, a smile, a kind word, a hug, tender bowels of mercy, etc. Matthew 5:16. Toward all people, especially the poor, the needy, and those of the household of faith. It was never intended for any governmental agency, hello, listen, to have to provide to care for people as is presently being done today. God intended that through the tithes and the offerings and through seed planting and through almsgiving that the church would take care of the church and the church would minister to all those around. And so... In Galatians chapter 6 in verses 2 through 5, it is the fulfillment of the second commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew 22, verse 39, Mark 12, 30 and 31. God has so blessed us that we should and can be a blessing to others who are less fortunate than we are. Consider almsgiving as random acts of kindness, random acts of mercy, random acts of love, random acts of pouring the love of God into somebody else's life through almsgiving. People of all life backgrounds, regardless of race, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, culture, etc. You have the opportunity when you tip in a restaurant, when you eat out. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you last Sunday went out to eat? And how many of you took me up on what I said in almsgiving and you bought somebody else's lunch? You bought somebody else's meal. It is random acts of kindness, random acts of mercy, random acts of love expressed. And so then that leads us to our message today, first fruits. First fruits is required by God. Now take your Bibles for just a minute and turn all the way back with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, you know the story. Now just think of it this way this morning. If I can finish this message this morning, you won't have to listen to it again. Hello? Huh? Come on, smile. It's easy to smile. Did you know it? Listen to me. Did you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? Hello? Google it if you don't believe me. Google it. Don't look like a cow licked your face like that. Come on, smile. Put your fingers right here. Smile. It's Halloween, okay? Show your teeth, okay? Smile. You see, when you learn this principle in your life, it totally frees you. When you begin to practice this principle, when you begin to live out this principle, it will set you free, church. You shall know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. That's not, but we want to, listen, the preacher's gone to meddling every time he starts talking about. Did you know Jesus talked about money? Did you know money's talked about all the way through the Bible? Money is not evil. It's the love of money and the way we use money that's evil. And the devil trips every one of us up, even as believers, to rob us of what God wants to do in our life as a result of it. Such as he did with Cain. Let's read it. In beginning at verse 3 in chapter 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, you know the story. You're not biblically illiterate. You know the story. You know that God accepted Abel's offering, but you know that he refused Cain's offering. Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to tell you. Every sermon that I have ever heard preached on this is always about the issue of salvation. And that is certainly true. That is theologically true. But there is another principle there that I want you to see this morning. I want you to see that Abel, somewhere, somehow, God didn't tell him to bring an offering, by the way. Hello, are you listening? Nowhere will you find in the scripture where God told either one of them to bring an offering. But somewhere, Cain and Abel had heard the same story. I would have to believe that their mother and daddy, Adam and Eve, had taught them the principle that God slew the animals, made coats of skin, innocent blood was shed, and they were clothed with those coats of skin with the righteousness of God as a covering until the blood of Jesus Christ could come and completely cleanse them of all sin. But there's another principle that is taught right there in that scripture that we've passed over for generations and generations and generations. Why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's not accepted? Well, first of all, if you look very carefully, it says that Abel offered God the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. In other words, he didn't choose the lean animal. He chose the first animal. If you remember, the first of the flock, the first of the land, the firstborn son belonged to God. Therefore, the first 10% belongs to God. It's God's. It always has been and it always will be. And the first fruits belong to God. And so why was Cain's offering really rejected? It was rejected because he just chose to bring of his flock, of the work of his hands, of the ground, of the labor of his hands. It was not the first fruit of the ground. He just carelessly came before God and offered God a cheap offering. My friend, listen to me this morning. The love of God is always proved in our heart by acts of giving and acts of mercy and acts of grace and acts of love towards someone else. Jesus said, when they asked him what was the greatest commandment, he said to love God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your spirit, with the totality of your being. Now listen to your pastor this morning that loves you with all of his heart. How can you say that you love God? How can you say that you want God to answer your prayers? How can you say that you want God to deliver so-and-so and heal so-and-so and save so-and-so, and you're robbing God of that which is rightly His? The first fruit is God's. It always has been and it always will be. God established it right there in Genesis chapter 4. And so Cain came and he didn't bring the first fruits of the ground. God didn't tell him what kind of offering to bring. God didn't even tell him to bring an offering. You won't find it in the scripture, trust me. But Cain chose to carelessly ignore what God had said and what God had done through his mother and his father when the witness of what took place with Adam. First fruits is a very important theological theme in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The idea of first fruits is mentioned in at least 31 times throughout the Bible. It is not just an Old Testament idea. The minute that the sickle hit the first blades of grain at the time of the grain harvest was when the first fruits festival began. It is one of the festivals that is observed to this day. You don't have time to go into it. We'll at some later time if God so leads. When that happened, you were to take the best of the first fruits of the crop to the Lord and you would offer them as a sacrifice to Him. These are all sorts of material. There are all sorts of materials in the law of Moses about first fruits. However, in the other writers, 9 times the Apostle Paul, hello, who wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament and may have wrote the book of Hebrews. It looks very much like it. Over half of the New Testament, 9 times the Apostle Paul mentions first fruits. Do you understand this morning? Let me jump ahead for just a minute. Let me fast forward ahead for just a minute. Do you understand this morning that when Jesus came out of the grave, if you know the resurrection story, if you've studied the resurrection story, if you've read the resurrection story, then you'll know that many of the graves were opened at that time and there were other bodies that were resurrected at that time. Why? Because it was a first fruits offering to God of the promise of the harvest that is to come, which is me and you. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to shout. Do you understand? Are you getting this principle in your heart and in your life? We are a type of first fruits. And we will be. You know why I believe in the rapture? You know why I believe the church is not going through the tribulation? Because the tribulation is not for the church. Number one. But you know why? Because we are the first fruits from the grave. I hear these preachers preach about in the general resurrection. When I first started preaching, I went and bought a manual on funerals and weddings. And it was about this wide, with its liberal interpretation, when we all arise in the general resurrection. Let me tell you something. There's not going to be a general resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection for the righteousness and a resurrection for the unrighteous. And the resurrection for the righteousness is when Jesus Christ comes in the air. And we are the first fruits that will come out of the grave. Lord, help me to preach this morning. The church. We are a type of first fruits. Now, I'll fast forward it a little bit for you because I'm going to have to leave in a few minutes. But I'm trying to create a little hunger in your heart so you'll come back on the first Sunday before Thanksgiving to hear the rest of it. But let me wrap it up for us. Jesus is the first fruits of those who died in his resurrection. He is the first fruits of a multitude that no man can number that will be raised from the dead in him and be with God forever. He uses the idea of first fruits for the Holy Ghost and also uses the idea for first fruits for you and me. The book of James and the book of Revelation talk about first fruits in the New Testament as well. Therefore, it is a woven theme throughout your entire Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 4. First fruits. Now, in case some of you don't come back. Hello. Let me throw this out at you, okay? Now listen carefully. I don't have time to finish three pages of notes this morning, okay? But listen to me very carefully. I want you to grasp this. I want you to get a hold of this truth because it will absolutely help you to understand what God desires to do in your life through the manner in which he has taught us to give to him and to bless him. Therefore, first fruits is required by God. Just as the tithe and the offering is God, first fruits is God. It's spelled out for you right there in Genesis chapter 4. It's the central theme throughout the Bible. Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to tell you. That's why the devil can't have you. Are you listening? He cannot have you. If you're blood washed and blood bought and born again, he cannot have you. He cannot possess you because you're possessed by God and you belong to God because you've been purchased with a price, the price of your son, his son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been blood washed, blood bought, and born again. Therefore, the devil cannot have you. He can tempt you, but he can't possess you. He cannot have you because you're possessed of the Holy Spirit of God. Hello? When I got saved, hello? I know I'm in a Baptist church. And I know we Baptists are scared to death of the Holy Ghost because we're so afraid he's going to make us do something. We point our fingers at the other denominations and we run over here in the corner and hide. Hello? Listen to me this morning. Listen to me. Let's suppose that you're working real hard and your boss recognizes that and he honors you with a $1,200 a year raise. Okay? The first installment of that $1,200, however you receive it, belongs to the Lord. Now, I know what most of you have done in the past. You did what your pastor have done. You just tithed off the whole amount, didn't you? Well, hello? You're supposed to tithe off the whole amount, too. But the first fruit of the increase that God has blessed you with, however you receive it, if you receive it on 2 weeks, if you receive it on a month, that first fruit is God's. And you give it to God because it belongs to him. You have been purchased with a price. You have been purchased with the shed blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, what you have and what you are is not yours, but His. Hello? I don't belong to myself. I belong to God and to Miss Roma. Hello? Are you listening? You see how it all ties together? I don't own myself. I have no authority over myself. I belong to God. I belong to Miss Roma. She belongs to God and belongs to me. And when you understand that concept, then God takes care of, hello, every situation that you face. In homes, in families, in relationships. Because you see, I don't have the right to take myself and give myself to anybody else. Hello? Are you listening? Miss Roma doesn't have the right to take her and give herself to anybody else. Hello? Are you listening? Why? Because I'm a first fruit. I have been purchased with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not belong to myself. Paul said, which is not your own, but His. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your what? Spirit. You have been bought with a price. Bow your heads, please. God, I pray that you'll take the truth of your word.